Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot, oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here are your supernatural hosts, Patricia Baker and Becky Andreasen. Supernatural Girls.
Everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, numerologist extraordinaire, Patricia Kirkman. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Oh, I'm absolutely fabulous. You sweet talker, you.
Just telling the truth here.
Very good. Very good.
Well, it is a thrill to have you back on the show this week again, and out from Tucson, and here I am in little old New England again, where the temperatures are rising. It's finally getting warmer, praise God.
Well, it's right now, it's so hot, I've got the house totally opened up.
No kidding. Now, tempt us with these temperatures. What do you have going on there?
Right now, it's in the shade, it's 85.
Wow. And this is early for that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They told us it'll cool off again next week. You know how they are. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
I know exactly what you mean.
For sure.
Oh,
what a beautiful day.
Well, I can only hope we will see those temperatures at least part of our summer. So.
Mm-hmm. And you will. I'm sure you will.
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Well, you know, I found something I wanted to share with everybody in the news today that is kind of cool. And what it's about, it's a medieval remedy that they discovered that treated, back then in medieval times, eye infections. But guess what? They found out it also kills MRSA, the superbug.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. Is this amazing?
Isn't that fabulous?
And it's all natural stuff. It's made from garlic, onion, leek, wine, and ox gall, or bile from the stomach of a cow. But then it calls for this mixture to be brewed in a brass vessel, purified through a strainer, and left to sit for 9 days before use. So it's amazing. What they found is it has to be made exactly like this. They can't, you know, miss any part of this. It's got to be made synergistically. And this is just an amazing discovery. They found it kills 999 of 1,000 MRSA bacterial cells.
Oh, my goodness.
So this thing is a 1,000-year-old remedy, and they're saying it's working better than traditional antibiotics.
Well, that makes better sense because we've overdone the antibiotics.
Haven't we, though? That's why we have MRSA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing. And here's back 1,000 years ago, they had a remedy for this. And I think it's a perfect lead-in to our show tonight because we have a shaman with us.
I know.
Itzhak Berry. And this is all about the same kind of thing. This is about ancient wisdom. This is about the knowledge of old that things do need to be done synergistically in just the right way, and then you have healing. So we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes, and I can't wait to get him on the air because, again, this is a great subject, and there's so many different nuances to shamanism. So I can't wait to see what he has to say on all of these levels.
I agree. I think it's going to be fabulous.
Oh,
the more you get
stuff
into his book, the more exciting it becomes.
Yes, and he's got so much here. I mean, there's a wealth of information, and my favorite is the soul retrieval. I can't wait to talk to him about that one. Powerful
God
stuff.
God knows I need help retrieving mine.
We all need some retrieval.
Okay.
No question. We've got parts of us all over the darn place, and we got to start retrieving them. No question about it. But tell me, Patricia, you've been looking at the numbers, And we've got some interesting things coming up. So,
well, this is easy because this month is a breeze. It's a three universal month. It's all about creativity, communications of all form, and has a luck factor to it.
Oh, I like luck.
Making it even better. Oh, you betcha. You betcha. And tomorrow will be even better because it will be a lucky day in a lucky month.
Wow.
So if anybody's thinking about making investments or looking at some things, that's the time to do it.
Tomorrow is the big day.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
or any time this month, actually.
Anytime in April. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can talk about anything you want. The creative side is going to be way overboard. The only thing one should not do is gossip, because that'll come back and bite you right in the...
Wow, really? So gossip will boomerang.
Yeah, because it's all about creative stuff and things of that nature. And so with the creative side going, there's all kinds of things that have to be taken care of. But it's going to really help and ensure everybody get a chance to utilize all their creative things.
Gosh, I'm excited. I mean, this is the first month I think we've discussed in numerological terms that sounds like it doesn't have some major challenge to it. I mean, they all do, but this sounds like
everything has
a lot
challenge,
easier.
But this one has so many nice things that go with it. Anyone that's interested in creativity in any way, shape, or form, pull out your brushes, your pencils, or your paint, or whatever you feel like from that direction, if you like. Anything that you like to do creatively, it's going to be dynamite. It will give you opportunity to explore that little girl or little boy in you and see what you can do with it.
Wow. Powerful time.
Mm-hmm. Like
someone
said,
powerful time.
They were playing the piano. I said, you can play the piano. She said, no, I can't. She said, I said, anything you try during this? She said, well, I've never played the piano before. And I said, well, you may want to try now. Something she's always wanted to do. Why not?
Why not is right. I mean, why not? You know, I have a dear friend out in California who, in her 50s, learned how to ski. Now, she didn't just learn how to ski. She became like a black diamond skier and instructor.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And
fabulous.
Now she's gone on to practice a special kind of, it's like Tai Chi, and I can't think of the name of it. And she just won a silver medal. God bless her. I mean, this is an amazing accomplishment, but it's a lot of what you're just talking about, going for it, using your creative side, not letting anything hold you back. I mean, she didn't let anything hold her back. And usually if you don't learn how to ski when you're a kid, you can forget it. You're never going to be
that
good at
it.
You know,
that's
but here she mastered it. She didn't just become good at it. She mastered it. So God bless you, Kat. I know you're out there listening. And it's just wonderful.
Great.
She's a wonderful inspiration to all of us who are looking for something new. And we just need that little kick in the pants to get going.
With that creative side going on, Patricia, not only that, but we are in a month in a time when we're all perfectionists about what we do. We don't want to settle for a little bit. We want it to be the best of the best.
Well,
so that's
I'm all
to
for that.
Urge the rest of us forward a little bit more.
Oh, gosh, what a wonderful energy to work with this month. Well, this is great news.
Oh, yes. I think it's fabulous. I finally woke up this morning and decided I think I'll stick around for a while.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. We don't want to have to contact you in the skull experiment, too. Come on now.
Okay, I'll wait a while.
You got it.
But it's just so much fun right now because everybody's feeling that playful, that little bit of childlike part of themselves.
And that's the part often that has to be healed that we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. Yeah, we've had enough of the dark and dreary and the anxiety and a lot of the stuff that people have been going through that feels like desperate times. So it's nice to have this lighten up.
Well, it's rebirth. Rebirth is always wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Well, this is great. Well, let's introduce our wonderful guest. Now, I just put his book down, and where in the world did I put it? We're talking about shamanism tonight with Itzhak Berry. And he has written a great book that you and I have been reading, and it's called The Gift of Shamanism, Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams, and Journeys to Other Realms. Now, Itzhak is a shaman, and he's internationally recognized as a shaman, healer, and teacher. And he was also initiated, we got to ask him about this, into the Circle of 24 Yacheks, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Ecuador. He's the founder of shamanportal.org, the co-founder of the New York Shamanic Circle. He is on the faculty of New York Open Center, and his work has been featured in the New York Times, films, and television. Itzhak, please come to the show. Welcome us. We welcome you. Join us on the show right now with your shamanistic visions. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Nice to be with you.
We're just delighted to have you with us.
As you can tell, listen to that introduction. My gosh, I mean, we're so excited to have you here because you really, from your book, you really do say that you feel everybody can tap into this. Everybody can have the shamanistic abilities that you discuss in your book.
Many shamans believe that we are all shamans. It's not a gift for just one or two or special people. Every person have dreams. Every person have visions. Every person have deja vus. Everybody is a spiritual being. And really, the purpose of this book was to encourage people to tap into their potential and to give it credit that we are all shamans.
That's wonderful. And people want this information. People that come to this show and listen to this every week, they want this information because they want to tap in. But tell us first, if you would, how did you find this path for yourself?
Well, you know, many of us, when we are young, especially when we are young, we take it for granted. We dream, we see visions, we have an incredible intuition, and as we grow old, society tells us that it's something wrong with us, that
mm-hmm.
it's not something that you want to share with other people, that we need to be afraid of, because people will think that you are cuckoo, that you're not, nobody takes you seriously, you know. So I was around the age of 7, 8, 9, children learn to hide those experiences that they have. And I hope that this book will release that will give them permission to go back to that wonder of experiencing the world as it is in so many different dimensions.
Well, now, you grew up in Israel, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And was it different there than here in terms of the climate? Was this type of thing, vision, inner knowledge, was it more accepted when you were growing up in Israel or not?
I don't think so. I think that I'm not sure that it has to do with being in Israel or the United States. I think that it has to do with in the messages of the cultures
mm-hmm.
of the Western mind heavy cultures. Learn, be like everybody else, get a good job, all of that. I grew up in a kibbutz in a society that denounced any kind of religion or spirituality as it is. But on the other hand, we did celebrate natural nature seasons in the holidays, and we spent a lot of time in nature. So my childhood really was is about discovering nature. You can call it in there was a great preparation for shamanic work, because when you watch trees grow, of butterflies or birds or the seasons, the change of seasons, you understand life. And in indigenous cultures, when they are not separated so much from nature and their life, the the bridge is a lot easier for them to accept.
Yes, it is. And it sounds like you had a wonderful experience growing up and feeling close to nature and watching everything grow around you. So you did have
yes.
some experience of that as a child, which was magical.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think that one of the gifts that the listeners can do for their children is to have them spend more time in nature and less time in front of the computer screens on iPads and other things like that. So their world will be more wider and more have more dimensions than just these two flat screens.
Exactly. Much more fulfilled.
You know, and it's
yes,
a challenge.
Yes.
I mean, what you're talking about is a difficult thing to bridge right now for children because, oh, my God. Well, for so many reasons. I mean, it's wonderfully convenient, but it's also terribly isolative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And shamanism is really about a community, an exchange of relationship between people and nature. And you don't get it very much when a child sits and in his Facebook or other things like that. It's all these virtual communities have no dimensions of touching and smelling and sharing and being sitting in circle and around fire or the physicality of it is basically pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way if you go out anywhere, you watch people out for dinner. They're all on their own little devices, and they don't even speak to each other.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Scary. We've come a long way backwards.
Yeah, I wrote about it in the book also because I believe that we have a big shutdown of the senses with all the gifts of technology. Right now, we're really experiencing a huge shutdown of our God-given talented and intuition and the ability to be more than just two-dimensional people. And that's really the fear that I have if we are not going to choose to work. Not necessarily everybody doesn't have to be a shaman, but at least be connected to nature and connected to the natural forces and living in a community, in a loving community.
So this is a big jump that you're saying we need to make as a society, and it's worldwide because you're saying it's the same, I'm sure, or similar thought process going on in your home country of Israel, right?
Yes, yes.
So
I mean, it's really in. You can see it in Europe. I just came back from Europe, was teaching there too, and it's everywhere. It's that relying on iPhone and on smartphones, on iPads for information, for entertainment, for loneliness. It's all come down now to these digital devices. And I believe that it right now the resurrection of shamanism is due a lot because people instinctively they want to be connected to nature, they want to be connected to people, to community. They feel isolated. So shamanism definitely give answers to that to all of those questions.
It really does. It answers a lot of things, and it's a commitment to connection, which is remarkable, though. I mean, you live in New York, right? Where do you get your connection?
Yes.
To nature.
Good point.
You know, when I was traveling in Ecuador, One time I asked Alberto Tazza, who is a shaman there, I said, well, I told him, you know, for you it's easy because you live in Ecuador and in the Andes and nature is all around you. And but for us, New York, we have only buildings. And he looked at me. He couldn't understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but your building don't have spirit. And your trees don't have spirit. And your sidewalks don't have spirit. Spirit. There's spirit everywhere. You're just not connecting with it.
Hmm.
And it was a great eye opener for me because shamanism can be practiced in every place in the world, and especially in places like New York, who that are, you know, it's a very technologically advanced and very, it's the biggest city. But you can connect to nature with your own plants in your home, in the trees in the park, with people that walks by you. I mean, it's a state of mind. So,
it is.
Yeah.
And then, but you made a very interesting personal transition, because you went from having a very successful advertising agency to
yes.
making a conscious decision to change your life and to take on this path. Well, how in the world did that happen?
Well, for many years I felt very guilty about doing advertising work. And I couldn't really bridge it for a long time. And I tried to choose clients that do good in the world. They don't pollute, no alcohol, no fear, no animal killing, all these. But it's very difficult because sometimes you do get accounts that are not necessarily your cup of tea. And I felt really guilty about it. And it was interesting that I got an answer for it in the Amazon when I was doing ayahuasca there with the Shuar in Ecuador. And spirit came over to me, and they told me that the work of advertising is very similar to the work of the shaman, because people in advertising do use visions. They have to learn what motivates people to act, they need to be leaders. So there's a lot of similarity between advertising, marketing people, and shamans' work. And the question is how do you use it? How do you use your skills if you use it for betterment of society, or if you do it to manipulate or to create wealth for other people? So
right.
I think it's a matter of choice, I was really relieved hearing it from the spirit of the ayahuasca that gave me permission to do that. And then what it did say is just choose the client, choose the causes that you are working for. And then I really started changing. I started to do more work for nonprofit organizations, for the ASPCA, for other organizations that make environmental difference and work for the betterment of people. And I still think that it's very important to have communication skills. This is what we do. We are all communicators.
Yes,
and it's important
to
use it for the right way.
So,
and by the way, I see a lot of people who are graphic designers and advertising people who are coming to shamanism in droves. And many, many people from this industry come to shamanism.
Well, that's wonderful to know.
Yeah. And do you think it's because they're naturally creative and so there's room for more creativity? Yes. Yeah. Now, but
yes,
you
yes,
actually
yes.
went to South America, and
yeah.
you did some pretty brave things in South America. So what lit the fire for you to go to South America and take on this adventure?
I am a very curious person. That's one of the things that almost gets me in trouble. I always want to know more. I want to know what's behind what I see. And I when I got to my 40s, I had what we call midlife crisis, which I'm not really sure that it's a crisis by itself, but I think it's just a time for reevaluating our life. And I looked at myself and I said, you know, I was a painter. I showed in galleries. I made art, and I lived off that. And I worked in advertising. I had family. I have three kids and wife and family and an advertising agency. I won an awards. And then at that age, I asked myself, so what next? Why do I, where do I go with it? You know?
Yeah.
And I really, it was quite a few years that I was very disillusioned from all of it. I didn't have any answers. I didn't see where I'm going. If somebody would have told me then that I would be a shaman or doing shamanic work, I would laugh at him. Really.
Now, but were you you said in your 40s you had kind of a reevaluation. So you were saying you didn't know where you were going with any of this, but it sounds like you had a lot of success. You had a wonderful family, three children, a wife, and then this great advertising agency that was recognized internationally. And
yeah.
So, but were you also feeling like something was missing or there was an emptiness
yes.
even with all this success?
Yeah. You get very quickly used to success or to where you are. I mean, at least for me, I wanted to know more. What's behind all of that? Why do we do all of that? What's the meaning of our life here? What's our life purpose here? And I think for me it was very important. And I was asking these questions all the time to myself. And there was I read a book by Hank Wesselman, Spirit Walker, that intrigued me, and I started to see that he's writing about many of the questions that I was mulling in my mind, and it was such a big discovery for me at that time. And in that book, there was he mentioned a workshop with Michael Honner, who started many years ago in the 60s called shamanism. And so by coincidence, I went to his workshop. And from there, I discovered that I have something. I have a gift. And now I know that this gift is for everyone. And that brought me to another workshop. And then I went with John Perkins to Ecuador. There we had experiences in the Amazon with the Shuar, and then in the Andes with different yachaks, with different shamans. And that's where I met the man that I became his apprentice a couple of years later.
What is a yachak? Is that a tribe in Ecuador?
No, a yachak is another word for shaman. The translation of that is actually a birdman. If you see in their pictures, they wear these beautiful, colorful fedora, colorful feathers, a crown on their head, and the idea is for them is that the birds are taking them to fly up into the unknown or to the heavens to receive information and talk to spirit. So in this culture, it's called Yachak.
Okay.
And he initiated me into the circle of the Yachaks of Iluman, the village that he lives in.
And how long did you apprentice with him?
About 3 years on and off. Most of my training actually was here in New York. He came here for 6 months a year. And I worked with him I assisted him, and then slowly, like apprenticeship, I did more and more, and I went to Ecuador a few times and spent time with him there, and mostly here and there. And then I worked with another shaman from Brazil, Ipu Piara, for 12 years.
Now, with your choice to take this path, did you have support from your family, or did they think you'd gone off the deep end?
I was just going to ask him, how did he manage to do all this with his wife's acknowledgement of you're good?
Right.
Well, first of all, she knew I'm crazy, so it wasn't like a surprise.
That must be why she married you, right?
Yes. I probably was not the most conventional person, but it was a process. It brought a lot of anxiety to the children and for my wife, because as I got deeper into the practice of the shamanism, when I started to do healing work and organizing trips and going on trips and all that, I spent less and less time in advertising. So I made less and less money to support ourselves. So there was a point that was very unclear where I'm going. And it was a very slow process for me, too. I mean, I really did not want to do this work. And my teacher pushed me to do to become what I am today. For 2 years, I was refusing. I was saying, no, this is not for me. I don't have that gift. You have the gift. I'm not that powerful. So I was resisting for a long time to do this work. I know that there are some people who want to do this work. I had a very peculiar relationship with that. And at the end, I accepted that. But it wasn't something that I kind of planned to do. Not at all.
So everybody just kind of watched, your family just kind of watched you make these choices and even struggle with some of these choices, knowing that it was going to also impact their lifestyle. And like you said, it destabilized everybody a little bit when you made these choices and would go to Ecuador. So
yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And brave.
Did your wife
and
accompany you
scary.
On any of these journeys?
Sorry?
Did your wife accompany you on many of these journeys?
No.
Oh, you and I
it was a little rough
a long time ago.
but there was a point where I took all our family, my wife and my three kids, and we went to Ecuador they met the shamans and his wife when they were here, but in New York, but we went to visit them over there, and we had healing and ceremonies, initiations over there. So at that time, they accepted it more.
Mm-hmm. Became more of a participant.
But my children was a very, I think that for on my children, it was a little weird. You know, their father went a little crazy.
You saying the apple didn't fall far from the tree, huh?
Yes. But I got to tell you, I also went to, when I started to teach, I went to teach in their in their schools. I decided that it is very important to start with children, and my son was in Stuyvesant High School, which is a very science and math oriented school, and one of the teachers there invited me to teach there, and I came there as for one session, and the children really loved it, and I end up doing 64 sessions a year.
Oh my goodness!
For three different classes throughout the years, and it was amazing. And one of the kids in the school in the graduation ceremony came to me, and he said, "Mr. Beery, I have to tell you something. The only practical thing I ever learned in Stuyvesant High School was your class."
Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, nice. And it's probably true to the nth degree. I mean, you gave them a real lesson. How wonderful. Wow. That's excellent.
Yeah. Well, the lesson that I gave them, it was to trust their own intuition and to speak to spirit, to speak to their power animals, to have their own vision. Don't ask adults to tell you what to do. And to relieve all their stress that they have by going and doing journey work.
You should just say this also, because there's a question that just came out of the chat room, which is exactly that. The question is, how do you learn to trust your own intuition?
Well, it is a process. And one of the things that I learned is that when you have intuition, it's not by coincidence. It's always come from spirit. So what I do is I many times when I have a feeling or a dream or a vision, I pick up the phone and call the person that I had that intuition about. Mm-hmm. And I can say that it's about maybe 80% that I'm right.
That's great.
That's fabulous.
But you know, but I think that it's very important to not feel like you are stupid, that you're just making it up, that it's not important, that you know, all these excuses we give ourselves. So the more you validate your experiences, the more you become more comfortable with that process, and then you start to see that there is a reason for these messages to come to you. So I encourage people to write it down and to make fool of themselves, call the people, tell people. And verify that this is what they feel is absolutely true.
This is great advice. It's simple, it's to the point, and it's something everybody can do. I love this. This is really great.
And many times we feel something, and you'll mention to somebody, I was going to call you, and they call you first. There's that connection.
Yes, yeah. Oh, you know, I mean, in my classes, in my workshops, I always ask people to raise their hands if they ever had this experience of that person will call me and then the phone rings and it's there. There, everybody that I know of have that experience, and many people that I know saw spirit and they saw ghosts and they saw visions and they had dreams that manifested in reality. We all have these experiences, and we are so afraid to share them with other people.
People are afraid they're going to come across as foolish, and they don't realize that we all need to do that to connect. How else are we going to know?
That's right. You know, like and especially in the workplace. You know, I have a few clients who are lawyers. And there are many of the lawyers of my client experiencing the same thing that he does, but it's kind of like unsaid policy not to share these experiences. And I told him one day, why don't you? Why don't you share it with the lawyer next door? And it turned out that that lawyer is doing Qigong, and he is doing meditation, and he is doing...
Oh, my goodness.
He's like him.
Perfect.
Oh, isn't that something? Wonderful.
That's perfect. Well, we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more of the metaphysical side of all of this with the shape-shifting,
sure.
The plant medicine, and my favorite, soul retrieval. So everybody,
I was just
going
to say, I know what you were going to say next, because I just happen to have that chapter right up on my desk right now.
Ah, perfect timing. Well, this is where we're going next. So everybody stay tuned.
Okay.
We will be right back. We are speaking with Itzhak Berry, who is the author of The Gift of Shamanism. And if you have a question, you can call it in at 646-478-0828. Or type it out in our chat room. We'll be happy to ask it on your behalf. Stay tuned, everybody.
Ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the Source. With Cosmic Fusion, the Source Energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our Cosmic Fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Véronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are you getting screwed on your property taxes? How to find out and how to fix it. Available on Amazon.com.
Everyone, we are having a wonderful discussion tonight, Patricia Kirkman and Itzhak Berry and myself. We are talking with Itzhak about his book and his experience as a shaman. The name of the book is The Gift of Shamanism, Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams, and Journeys to Other Realms. Now, Patricia and I, we have a favorite subject here, which is soul retrieval. Can you tell our audience about this? How does this work?
In the shamanic traditions, or in many shamanic traditions, and I really want to say something, because it's when you say shamanism, it's one word that describes many different traditions and practices from all over the world. And when we are trying to make it a system, but the truth of it is that in every culture, they use it a little different. Mm-hmm. So if I speak about soul retrieval, we can speak about it in terms of the classical model that Michael Honer, Sandra Ingerman, and people from the core shamanism created, based on a few traditions. And that the premise of that is that we all have soul, or group of souls, and when we have trauma or difficult times, car accidents or abuse or other things like that, some parts of our soul leave or disappear, going away, and that is to avoid the feeling of pain. In psychology, some call it disassociation. It's a little different, but you can understand the premise of that. The shamans, the symptoms of soul loss in a person is there's a feeling of there's something is missing in him. There's a hole in his energy body. That could be also depression. That could be also feeling that apathy or many different experiences of that. And what the shaman does with the help of a drum or a rattle or sounds or dance is to go into a trance and call his power animals and ask them to take him, to lead him to find or to track the traumatic event that happened when that child or person decided to let go of that part of the soul. And when he experiences, when he sees that event, he then goes and track the soul part that is missing, and once find it, he or she would speak to that soul part and ask it to come back to bring it back to the energy body or of the client. when that energy or the soul part that is missing come back or retrieved, then he blows or she blows it into a person's body, and reunite that missing part into that person. And then there is a part of integration that the clients need to do with the help of the shamans, is to bring it back to everyday's life. That, in principle, what soul retrieval technique is today. Although there are some other experiences that, like in the Kichwa tradition that I study with, some of the soul retrieval are done a little different in a different ceremonies.
It has a profound effect, and I think this is what drew both Patricia and I to this particular technique, is that the effect, and you write about this beautifully in your book, is really, it's real. I mean, that's the way I'm looking for. It's real. So that after the ceremony is complete, people experience a profound change, which allows them to move forward in a way they couldn't before. Can you give us an example or several examples of people that had that happen with soul retrieval?
Sure. I mean, we talk about change in the physical world if we take a pill, that's physical, and then when there is a result, the body feels better. We know that there is a physical element that changed physical elements, but we have to remember that everything in the universe is energy, and when we bring part energy or the soul part that's an energy, you bring back to the energy body of the person, something changed there. For instance, there's a woman who came to me, and that's part of one story in the book, that she was a teacher for many years, and she was an alcoholic and never married, always were afraid. And turned out, when we did a soul retrieval, that there was an incident when she was young where she went into a house and fell and into the basement with a great surprise and a great shock and trauma. And when we retrieved that part and brought it back, her life changed. She stopped drinking. She looked different. She thought her behavior totally changed. There are quite, I mean, in this book, I bring a few examples of that because it's so important for people to see, to read about that.
It is important. I mean, again, because there are people who all of us get stuck in certain patterns of behavior. We don't necessarily like it, but we find ourselves stuck in the same rut, unable to make a change, and we're looking for that pathway. And now, I mean, some people are going to want a quick fix. They're going to want to take the pill. But other people understand this is an energy situation. It's not integrated. It needs to be brought back. And that's what you do in your work, which I find fascinating. And again, because it really works. It really makes the powerful and positive difference that people yearn for.
Yes. So when the soul part leave, let's say that a person had a trauma at the age of 4, when that, to avoid that pain, that soul left, but the child is still there at the age of 4. So even if you are now 40 or 50 or 60, you are still acting or reacting to the same situation that brought to you over and over again from the same point. So even if you work with psychiatry to understand, with psychotherapy to understand the trauma, to understand, if that energy is not brought back to you, and you integrate it into you, that inner child, you can call it, or that part of you cannot grow up, cannot be matured. And so people keep on avoiding the pain and repeating the same pattern over and over and over again. And the relief, the joy of the relief of people who are done soul retrieval is an immense experience. I had one woman who, after a session like that, she said she, for the first time in her life, she could feel a child again, and a happy child again, with joy, with beauty. She was elated. Her world changed in one or two sessions. So it's quite a beautiful process.
And when you lead somebody through this, in your book, you again, as you mentioned, you give some very specific examples of what happened with some of your people. And it's like when you're leading them through this, it's like you're there. I mean, you're seeing it with them, correct?
Very much so. One of the things that happened when a soul part leaves is that the person does not remember fully, emotionally, he doesn't remember the pain. So let's say that somebody had sexual abuse. So when that happened, that part of his soul leaves, and the body is there, but the emotional reaction is disappeared. So it's nobody there, nobody at home. Right?
Right.
And so if you talk to her or him about this experience, they cannot connect emotionally with the experience. What happened to me when I journeyed to that event, I see the event exactly the way they were, but I also get very connected emotionally with the client, and I can bring back those feeling to the person, and then we can work through them by bringing back this soul part back. So there is a reunion and an acknowledgement of the event and fulfillment of that body energy. It's a very powerful experience.
Oh, it sounds wonderful and remarkable, and I'm thinking along the lines of how many people this could really help. I mean, here in the state of Massachusetts, there's a big push now to help people who are addicted to drugs. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this will be interesting. I wonder what old traditional treatment that doesn't work they're going to put more money into. So I'm listening to you speak about this, and my next question is basically, how does this work for addicts? Does it work at all, or does it take one session or more sessions, or what have you found? Because it sounds like you've worked with some people who have issues with drinking and substance abuse.
Yeah.
So what happens with people like that?
Well, I usually don't like to promise anything when I work with people, because it's a process that both people have to work with. And for some people, I mean, you have to understand, at least I understand, that drinking or being an addiction comes from a void of some sort. Something is missing that you need to drink to place the missing part in you. Some of them is love. Some of them is insecurities. There's many different reasons for that. And most of the people who are addicted are people who are incredibly creative. They're incredibly sensitive, incredibly needy of love. And so working with these tools of shamanism can reconnect them back to what for the full person who were they before these events happened. If you ask me if government or should invest more money in this technique, yes, of course. Methadone and all the other chemical, they are great solutions for short times, and some people can benefit from it, and I'm not saying they shouldn't. But the long term, I think that is important to use these techniques to help addicted people. I
think so, because we're talking about the difference between a short-term treatment and a long-term cure. And
yes.
Again, this is when you're talking about addictions, you're talking about some of the biggest voids, I think, because you're absolutely right. People who suffer these situations do have a tremendous emptiness that
yes.
feels, I'm sure, to them bigger than who they are. And so it puts them on that same automatic pilot that's one of the worst ruts of all. It could be a food addiction, too. It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It can be any kind of addiction. It could be a sex addiction. It doesn't matter. It's just what people are grabbing at to try to fill that void, as you call it, in the emptiness. And, you know, what a wonderful way to address this, but through journeying and through soul retrieval. It's... Again, that's where I think the money should be going is into this type of treatment. And this
well,
is what should be employed. If people really want to see this go away.
Yes, and you know, my goal in all of that, in writing the book and on my work, shamanism to mainstream, to have insurance companies cover. Shamanic, why not?
I think that would be great. But also government programs. I mean, I'm just watching so much money getting thrown away. Might as well flush it down the toilet for programs that don't work. And it's like, gosh, you know what? It might be accepted, but guess what? It doesn't work. It's never worked. It's never going to work. Can we think outside the box? Can we work with a particular technique that may not fit into mainstream at the moment, but it's going to produce the result you want? These people are going to get off drugs. These people are going to get off alcohol. They're going to start a whole new life. And again, it's so needed that people's heads need to be turned in this direction.
If you were to work with someone, could you say to them in the beginning, this may take so many sessions or so many months or whatever, to give them something to hold on to? Because sometimes if they don't see an end result coming within a period of time, they panic and they ignore it rather than embrace it.
Yes, and that there is the conflict between shamanic work and healing work in the Western tradition. Because in psychotherapy, people come and they come for week after week after week after week for 15 years, 20 years.
And they're still not cured.
Shamanic work really is designed for one, two short sessions.
Yeah.
And it's also needs to be a cooperation between the healing, the healer, the shaman, and the client. So it's a combined work. I usually recommend people to come for three sessions or nine sessions, so they can actually. There are some sessions that are people come and the miracles happen in the first session. Their life changed.
That would be wonderful.
It's really beautiful. And some people take longer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. But I always tell people, before you come, you need to ask your spirit, do you want to be healed? not to be cured, but do you want to do the work? Because I don't know. I mean, if I do extraction for evil spirit and other things like that, then we have to do a certain amount of sessions to guarantee that it will go away. Mm-hmm. But for other sessions, the person has to come because spirit tells them that they want to come, that they need to do this work. I don't know if this answers your question.
Yes, it does. It gives you something that you could give a person, something that they can look into and hold on to instead of just a blanket statement, you know. It sounds, if they get an idea of where they can go instead of where they've been.
Yeah. I have people who came for one session, and I have people who came for three, for nine. I have people who come for 12 years. And, I mean, actually, this is a kind of like a beautiful story, because that woman who came for, she's now 12 years or something, she come very, very periodically now. She came because she was in a panic. She could not operate in this world, because three times a week she had panic attack. And what we found out through soul retrieval is the reason why. And we worked through that a few times, and we brought that part back. And we turned out that she's a very creative woman. She started to paint, and she became, at the age of, the tender age of 67, she became a painter, and she started to show in galleries, and she became full artist.
Oh, wow.
And now she's in her 70-something. She have no panic attack, and she's fully functioning human being, with a career. So she comes from time to time to maintain, or maintenance, she calls it. So it's, each person is different. Yeah.
Now, people are writing in the chat room, and they've got a lot of questions, but the biggest question is, everybody's saying they want a soul retrieval experience. They want to know, how much does this cost?
Well, it depends on each practitioner. You know, they need to contact me, or contact a practitioner in their area. I usually prefer to do that in person. If you are in New York, send me an email, and I'll send you all the details.
And is this something you have to do in person, Itzhak, or can you do this on Skype or over the phone, or can you do it electronically or not?
Yes, you can. I personally prefer to do it old-fashioned way,
face to face, yes,
hands-on is much better.
Yes.
But I've done that also on the phone and through Skype. And in many cases, you know, the results can be the same. It's just my own personal preferences. But, you know,
so people can contact you at shamanportal.org. Is that the best website for people to correspond with you about this?
Probably through my own personal website, itzhakbiri.com.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Yes, because we've got a lot of people here in the chat room that are asking the same question about how to get a hold of you, how to schedule a session, do you have to be live in person in New York, or can you do this on the phone? So I think you've answered their questions about this. And clearly there's a lot of excitement around the possibility of this type of healing and the positive change in life. I mean, so many people feel stuck, and this is such a wonderful adventure of the self, you know, to come back to wholeness.
Yes. I personally think that it is a personal soul loss that we many of us experience, but it's also a national soul loss, because I think that when you lose your soul on a personal level, you tend to operate with soulless in your business and in politics and in your family and other things like that. So what we see, the way I think that this work is so important is because you look at the politics and the social responsibility and the environmental impact that we create here, and you ask yourself how people can do that. How can they deny global warming? How can they deny rights of gay people? How can they deny health insurance for people? All kind of these different questions all come from, I believe, a national soul loss.
That's
for individuals and as a society.
That's fascinating. So it starts to remove actual pieces of our humanity and our connection, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. Because when a person denies the hurt or that he suffered in abuse, how can he be sympathetic to people who are abused?
Exactly.
So there is a lot of denial and a lot of cover-up, you know, not to feel. And I think that, you know, what the work with shaman is really about connecting your heart, to opening your heart. And connecting the heart or opening the heart is really what we do. Is we really have to go back and feel.
Now, you've had soul retrieval for yourself. In Ecuador?
Yes.
And that, how was that for you? I mean, what changes did you experience personally?
I accepted who I am.
Oh, I like that. Wow, that's a big one.
That's a big one, yes. And it gives you the power to be fully who you are without excuses, without trying to hide. It brings back your spontaneity, your life, aliveness. That's enough, no?
Ah. Yes, I mean, that's like the granddaddy of it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love that. Now, do you often go back to Ecuador? Do you make many pilgrimages there? Or?
Well, the last couple of years I did not. Quite a few years, 6-7 years, I went to Brazil to work with shamans in the Rio Negro area near Manaus. As I mentioned, I study and assisted with a shaman named Ipupiara, who passed away a few years ago. I went with him and organized trips for him and assisted and taught there and worked with, it's called Pages, over there in the Tucanos and other tribes there. And so I learned from them too, yeah. And I'm planning to go on a trip. I'm organizing a trip in this coming December to work with my teacher in Ecuador and go back and into the jungle to do the plant's medicine.
Oh, my, how exciting. Now, you've had some experiences with ayahuasca too that are pretty extraordinary.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And now they mix this, as I understand, with the ayahuasca vine with chacruna is what you experience, maybe some other plants too, or was that basically it?
Mostly, it's the natema, the vine, and the chacarona. But there are different shamans use it in different ways, and they add different plants depending on what they want or what they want for the person. And they use different wild tobacco and trago, alcohol, rum, in conjunction with that to speed up or to. So there is a each of the ayahuasquero prepare it in a different way, depend on the person.
So it's all done individually. So it's like they kind of size up what it is you need, and then your recipe is certain combination.
That's traditionally that's how it's done. Lately in the last 10 years or so, there is a big movement or industry in Peru, especially for people from the West coming down over there. So it's no longer done one on one. It's done one on 20, one on 60, one on 80.
God.
But that's a different probably discussion.
Yes, it sounds like it would be an interesting discussion, though. But you know, there's so much about the magic of these botanicals and. That I think needs to be brought out. But, you know, they talk a lot about taking this stuff and then you get sick and then you're throwing up and all that. But there's a purging, there's an actual rebalancing that sounds like happens with the whole intestinal system, which is like our second brain, so critical to
yes.
our health.
Yes, and I think that part is not discussed in our culture very much. People put emphasis more on the vision, but the properties of the ayahuasca are used to clear the intestines and the bacteria and the viruses from the stomach, because the stomach is where all diseases develop, all the sicknesses. So the first thing about healing is about clearing creating alkali stomach, and you create alkali stomach by purging with this bitter drink. The side effect of that is visions, where we look at ayahuasca as visions first, and the side effect is purging.
Interesting. No, it's really the other way around. It's really a healing that happens in the second brain, the intestines, and then you're saying the side effects
exactly.
is you have these visions. That is so
yes.
interesting. Oh, my gosh. Now,
yeah,
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
No, I think that we need to think about it in a different way. It's about changing the chemistry in the stomach to bring healing. It's about removal of parasites. It's killing bacteria. It's about alkali. And if you talk about in our context in the West, most people in the West, their stomach is too acidic, which means it's too hot in the Chinese system.
Right.
It's too acidic, so we what the diet in the jungle is alkali diet. They eat very little meat, mostly vegetables, and they clear it from time to time with ayahuasca to bring the pH to balance.
Now, obviously, you can take this drink with a shaman and with guidance, and you'll have a profound experience both physically and mentally and spiritually.
Yes.
But can you like drink this like a tea every day and get an alkaline system from it? I mean, is it possible to do it that way where you don't have such a violent reaction? I'm just asking. You know what I'm saying? It's like, is this something we could integrate to our health practices or not?
No, but there are other plants you can use. It doesn't do it exactly the same, but there are other plants that can do that. But I would say that one of the things, if you do want to change your stomach into alkaline, cut off all meat, spicy food, coffee, caffeine, sugar, all the processed food.
Uh-oh, big change coming for you, Patricia.
Oh, I was going to have to. My goodness.
Yeah, so those are some things to eradicate. And like you're saying, there are other herbs and plants that I know, you're right, can alkalize the system. But ayahuasca seems to be such a powerful change. That's why I was wondering, well, can you just drink a cup of it every day? You know, maybe not with the chacruna, but you're saying that won't work that way.
There are some places in Peru where they do the dieta, it's called, where you go there for a certain amount of, you know, like 10 days, 2 weeks, and you drink every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do that for a long time. You can do that for a while. And that's legitimate. You can do that. But in Ecuador, in the jungle, it's really done when a person is sick. It's not done for a period of time. It's when it's necessary, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's necessary to have vision, you do that. It's a tool to create change in health or bring person back to balance. So it's,
it has a powerful purpose, and it sounds like it's something that you use, as you're saying, short term, period of time,
exactly.
and that's it. I mean, there's so many people that I know, in my personal life and also professionally, that complain about intestinal problems. It seems to be the scourge of the West, and certainly our diet has become so devalued, and so many people are making poor choices, lifestyle choices, with their diet, and it's no wonder. To come back to health, you know, I was just wondering, it couldn't be like a cup of peppermint tea every day. It's not that kind of thing, what you're saying.
No, but I'm actually in a side conversation. I'm writing now my second book about healing techniques and healing properties and the whole system of shamanic healing, and that's really what I'm working on now. But there are some other plants in the Amazon, and there are so many. Almost every bush, every leaf in the Amazon has some medicinal properties. But there is a tea that you could probably buy. It's called a dream tea. It's called guayusa, and that is similar to what you are talking about, and you can drink it every day.
And how do you spell that? People are already asking me in the chat room. How do you spell that?
Guayusa. It's a G-U-A guayusa. G-U-A-S-Y-U-A. So you don't pronounce the G. It's called guayusa, but you can say guayusa. And it's actually been used commercially in some soft drinks to help you dream, but it has a very strong healing benefits as well. And in the Amazon in Brazil, they do drink it every day. And I'm sure there are other plants too, you know, that do that. But I think that in our society, it's not really what you drink, it's what you don't eat, what you don't drink. If you drink coffee, caffeine, spicy food, meat, except seafood or fish. Sugar, white rice and white wheat, and all this processed food, you're going to create acidic stomach, and that changes the balance, the chemical balance in your body, in your stomach, and that creates disease. So,
well, you're right. And yet you sit down in front of the television, what do you see? Oh, your food doesn't agree with you? Well, take this antacid, and then you can still eat the same crap, and you just won't have a heartburn anymore. It's like, why don't you stop eating this food? Obviously, it doesn't agree with you for a reason. That doesn't cross their mind. And so it's, you know, you're bringing up a very simple solution that's so obvious. And yet,
it is obvious. I mean, if how many people are so nervous during the day, and they, you know, because they drink coffee.
Right. Too much.
Take out the coffee. Don't take.
Yeah,
don't take.
Are we brain dead? I mean, it's like you have to ask this question. It's true. It's just why do we keep reaching for the coffee when our nerves are already jangled? I'm not saying one cup a day. I'm talking about the people that are drinking it, you know, throughout the day, and they're jittery. And you're saying here's a simple solution, but there's something going on with our psyche when we are acting so brainwashed that we can't think for ourselves to just cut back on the coffee.
Well, you can also bring it back to addiction. Because
yes. That's right.
When we have a soul loss, we need to fulfill it with something. We want excitement, so we drink coffee. We want love, we eat sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of those foods, they are basically a patch on the void that we have in our body, in our soul, in our existence. People in the if you go to the Andes or to the jungles or in Guatemala, in the places where I visited, they don't need that. You don't see people drinking coffee. I mean, it's ridiculous. Nobody in the Andes eat tiramisu. They just don't have that.
Right.
Because it's not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love
the
tiramisu.
Sugar overload. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just boggles the mind to think that there are such simple solutions to some major health problems that so many people are facing. I mean, I've seen people go out of their way to try to find a health problem that doesn't have to do with their diet. You know, it's like, please tell me I don't have to change my diet. I'll go to surgery. I will take tons of medication.
They prefer...
Yeah.
Do you know how many men go to the bathroom every night? Oh, I'm sure women too. You know, twice, three times they wake up. Now, if you ask them to take not to drink coffee, they will say no. But they will continue to suffer from something they don't like.
They can't hold. Crazy. Yes.
They can't hold their but they would not give up on coffee.
You're right.
But I have to tell you something, story about coffee. I had one guy who came to me who, I wrote this in a book, and the spirit of her grandfather who was addicted came out of her body in a spontaneous soul extraction. And her life totally changed. All the creative blocks were gone. She finished creative projects she was working on. I mean, truly. And one day I met her and she said, you know, I really want to come back to see you again. And I said, sure, you know, come anytime. She said, but you have to promise me that you would not make me stop drinking coffee. So
and that is
coffee
really
addiction
telling.
Is terrible.
Yeah, very telling.
What we do to ourselves.
Gosh,
but you know,
I know,
shamanism is the whole shamanic healing and shamanic work is very simple. It's about the basic things of nature. We make them complex, but they are very, very simple, and they survived, you know, 50,000 years of humanity that we know of, or maybe more, because they are so simple, because they are so powerful. You know, when we talk about alternative medicine, people forget that Western medicine is only 200 years old.
That's right.
You know, the invention of
the invention of
pills and shots and all of those, penicillin and all of the thing that we are now taking it for granted, is less than 200 years old. The rest of history, which is millions of years, is what we do shamanically. So what we are basically doing, we are trying to bring it back to have people remember where they came from. And the proof of that, this work is in our own existence. Maybe 500 years ago, we didn't have aspirins for headaches. We had plants. We have, you know, weeping willows, you know.
Right.
We knew how to use the environment and how to use the minerals and the plants to heal us. And here we are.
Sicker than ever.
Some of the same questions, too, unfortunately, because we don't listen to the answers.
And as simple as you're saying, and this has been a very fascinating conversation with you, Itzhak, and our audience, I hope, is sitting on the edge of their chair like I am. I mean, there's so many possibilities here for people in their own healing. There's so many possibilities as you speak about how our personal healing affects our cities and our country and the world at large, that when we lose parts of ourselves that we cannot or do not reclaim, then it's going to keep us in the negative side of life, and it's not where people want to be today. So there's so many possibilities. You know what I'd love to see you do? I would love to see you. I'm going to tell you whether you want to know or not. You're an advertising man. You're an advertising genius. What about putting a pilot program together for people in New York with addictions and, you know, then writing about that and saying, here's what happened. We took 25 addicts and treated them, and this is what happened. I mean, could that open the door to changing mainstream thinking on this?
I hope so. I don't know if I would do it right now, but I'm definitely open if somebody will invite me to do that. I would be very happy to participate in that. I know it's going to work.
Yeah, I do too. And I'll tell you, here a long time ago, when I lived in Connecticut, we had something called the Beechtree Medicine Society, where we brought into the prisons a medicine man who held sweat lodges for the prisoners. And it was an amazing experience. Now, as far as I know, no one wrote up results, but I do know that it made a world of difference for the people that were in prison, and hopefully changed some lives for the better. So, you know, the power of the spirit, and certainly these simple principles of shamanism that you've brought to our attention today and through your wonderful book, I mean, this has the power to change us in our lives where we feel stuck, and it also has the power to change lives where it looks like it might even be hopeless, where these situations are been ongoing for so many years. So, gosh, this is exciting stuff. It's so exciting.
I'm telling you,
it's
very exciting.
Just fabulous.
Yeah.
Well,
and
it really
truly
to talk with you.
You see, the shamanic experience is can be had for each person that listen, or just go or hug a tree, feel that energy there, communicate with the tree, listen to what the tree tells you, or a rock, or a stone, or a mountain. It's that ability to connect with the energy of all the objects, in all the sacred objects, and everything is sacred in our universe, to connect with it, to feel it, to talk to it, to receive answers from that. That's what we want. That's the connection. And it's essentially so simple. Nothing is complex in this world. Really not.
This is great. I mean, again, I have so much to think about tonight, Patricia. How about you?
That makes two of us. I'm going to have to go to my kitchen cabinet and start pitching stuff, I guess.
I know. You've got a task ahead for you. I'm going to check up on you, too, with this.
I know you will. That's why I know I better start pitching.
That's right. I'm going to come to your kitchen myself.
give me a heads up.
I will. Well, Itzhak, thank you so much for such an informative and delightful evening that you have presented so many wonderful gifts to us and to our audience this evening. And you better come back and talk to us about your next book. That sounds just as exciting. So please promise us you'll come back to Supernatural Girls with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love that, of course. Yeah, it will come out in exactly a year from now.
All right.
With
the
same publisher.
On the calendar.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Absolutely.
Well, we'd
April
love
1st.
To have you back. Really, this has been, great.
It really was. What an eye opener.
Yes, in so many ways. In so many ways. So, again, the book.
And without ayahuasca.
Pardon me?
Eye opener without ayahuasca.
Without it? How about it? And it was free.
Free, exactly.
And you'd have to go to Ecuador. It was easy. So, again, if you want to continue this process of knowledge with Itzhak Berry, then the book to buy is The Gift of Shamanism, Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams, and Journeys to Other Realms. And if you want to reach out to Itzhak about your own healing session, you can find him at itzhakberry.com, and that is spelled Itzhakb, as in boy, Eery.com. So be sure, I know all of you have been sending me emails here and little messages. You want your own healing, so here's your opportunity. And everybody is also saying, Itzhak, this show went way too fast. So a compliment.
Well, I have some time. We can go another hour.
Yeah. Except Blog Talk wouldn't let us go another hour, but thank you. I mean, again, this
you're
is
very
been,
welcome.
This is terrific. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you for having a place where people can listen to and change their life. Really.
We need it, don't we? We all need it.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, and I wanted to say that when one person changes her life or his life, it's not just for them. It's for everybody that gets around them. And that's how we do it. We do it one person at a time. And when you change, the world changes around you. That's what's so important.
Oh, beautiful. What a great way to end the show. Well, again, Itzhak, thank you so much. This has been a privilege.
Oh, that it has. That it
Mine
has.
Too.
Well,
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This has been great. Keep us posted on your new book, and everybody will let you know. And Itzhak is going to come back and join us again, and we can't wait. It's got to come sooner rather than later. Also wanted to
Anytime
announce,
you call.
Go ahead.
Anytime you want, I'll come.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
We may have to have you back before your next book comes out. So
definitely.
Because we have so many people saying, we like him, have him back. So that's what I'm reading from the chat room right now. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. Well, we'll definitely be going to have back more than once. So, again, thank you, Itzhak. Sure. And everybody, I want to
You're very
now.
Welcome.
Thank you. We have an app for Supernatural Girls on the iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, you can download the Supernatural Girls app for free. So just go to the App Store, and there we are. We don't have all the functions yet. We do have Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. The news function is not working yet, but we are going to get it all together. We have been trying to make everything work, despite the fact it's not compatible with our website, which is the biggest issue. But we're trying to make it more convenient for you to listen to the show live, to listen to the show that's archived and have it available to you no matter where you are. As long as you have your iPhone, you can get the show. So next week, we're going to be talking about shamanism again. And this is Australian shamanism with Robbie Holt. So be sure to join us. Tune in next week. And we will see you all on the Blue Highway. Good night, everybody. Good night, Patricia. Good night, Itzhak.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with...